that last song is always a tearjerker for me. So I hope I think we can get things together here a little bit. Looking ahead to 2025, another year, just about a quarter of a century through this century, we had just celebrated the first Advent. Advent means coming. And the first coming of Jesus was as a baby, and Christians celebrated that particularly with extra joy, knowing that Jesus came for us. But now Jesus is in heaven, and someday he's going to return, and that's called the second Advent, his second coming to earth. And Christians have an eye towards that as well. And some of these songs this morning reflected that. The scripture passage we're going to be reading right now is from the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, and we're going to read verses 7 through 21. This is where Jesus is speaking. Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God." Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. If anyone takes away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Okay, we're going to be doing a short series on the second coming of Christ. And I have to say I'm thankful for my high school preacher and teacher, Reverend Peter Brower. I gleaned a lot of thoughts and ideas from him. And so I appreciate what he did in my life. And the first in this series is we're going to be asking this question, when will Jesus return? And we're going to be looking at scripture, and this is going to be kind of a thematic sermon. In other words, we glean from scriptures the theme of Jesus coming back, and then particularly when he's coming back. So as we glean these from, that's why you see so many verses in the outline quoted. And but we're going to be focusing particularly on Revelation 22, verse 20, which we just read. And we have that, Revelation 22, the next one. And this is where he who testifies, that is Jesus, to these things says, "Yes, I'm coming soon." And John replies, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible clearly says Jesus is going to come back again. There's many, and here's the first blank. There's many promises in the Bible about Jesus returning to earth. Gleaning samples from Scripture, Jesus said it a number of times. Matthew 24, verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man, that's how he refers to himself, comes in glory, all the angels with him, and he'll sit on the throne. So he's talking about his coming. Jesus said to them, I came the first time, I'm going to come again. Interestingly, when Jesus went up into heaven, there were a couple of angels that said the same thing to Jesus' followers, the disciples. And this is from Acts 1, verse 11. If we go to the next one, I'm keeping the projectionist very busy today. So this is where the angel said to the disciples, where Jesus had gone into heaven and they're looking where Jesus had left them. The angels come and said, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Okay. Later writings of Scripture talk about Jesus coming back again. Samplings here again. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. Okay. And in fact, the last words again, if in Revelation 22, if you were to read that passage we just read through, count it. Three times, Jesus says, I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon. He's promising, I'm going to come back. And so as we focus on this, let me ask you this. How do you feel about that? Jesus could come back at any time. He could come back before we finish this worship service. How do you feel about that? John's impulsive response was, amen, come, Lord Jesus. You get the sense, come as quickly as you can. Why should we look forward to it? Well, I give a number of reasons here in the outline. Why would we long for Jesus to come back? Well, there's a number of reasons. That next blank in the outline, nature will be restored. No more storms, no more diseases. Let me see. Oh, let me quote Romans 8, verse 21 here. It says, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. When Jesus comes back, part of what he's going to do, he's going to make this earth all brand new again. It's going to be paradise restored. No more, if you have a garden, you don't have to worry about those stupid weeds anymore. And insects. Here's a question. When heaven and earth are combined, new heaven and new earth, and we're living here on this new earth, paradise restored, could there be mosquitoes? I don't know if you can say heaven and mosquito in the same sentence or not. And if there are mosquitoes, I'm trusting they're tamed down and won't be biting us all the time. No more harmful radiation. No more chemicals that will kind of assault us. Nature's restored. Paradise is restored. Another reason I list here, our struggles will end. This is continuing Romans 8, now verse 23. Not only so, they're referring to the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wake eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We're going to be freed from all these diseases. We prayed for Joy Engelsman's mother, who's struggling with cancer. We don't know what's going to happen, but this may be the way that she leaves this life. When Jesus comes back, no more cancer. No more stupid colds and flus. We won't have to go through the struggle of having to make ends meet to make sure we have shelter and food and so on. No more depression, no more mental or emotional struggles. Death is gone. Our struggles will end. Another one is relationships will be restored. John has given a vision of all the people of heaven in Revelation 7, verse 9. He says, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, no one could count, from every tribe, nation, people, and language standing before. We're all going to be together. There's going to be peace and harmony. The tensions you've had with other people, people that hurt you, and you find it hard to love them, you're going to get along. People you can't trust because they betrayed you, you'll be able to get along with them now. At Christ's return, that's going to be all covered and put in the past, and everyone you're in contact with is loving and kind. Which is related to the next one. We will be renewed. Part of the newness will be in ourselves. Get a new body and renewed character. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 22, 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that is die, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Changes. Body will be the kind of body probably we had when we were at the prime of our lives. It will, but also not only our bodies, but our character will be changed internally. Something that surprises me, I'm glad I'm not on social media very much, because I understand there's a lot of junk in social media. If somebody says something and is real happy about something could come along and anonymously just kind of dig at you and just say some very, very mean things. Well, what's happening is now we're seeing what God sees all the time. Junk inside, coming out. And you think there's a lot of junk on social media? Just try to be God and see in the human heart all over the world. Including junk in us. Jesus returns. We'll be changed physically and internally. We will be new creatures. We will be naturally, impulsively kind and good. Another reason we long for Jesus to come back, evil will be abolished. Revelation 21, verse 8. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. What happens at Jesus' return? All cruel dictators? Gone. Those who seek to go to war and commit war crimes? Gone. Drug cartels, drug dealers? Gone. Human enslavers, child abusers, gone. Satan and his demons, gone. They're not going to be part of our reality anymore. So when we realize everything that we can be freed from, and we have a full life that you better than we can imagine, who wouldn't want Jesus to return? And one of the great things is if Jesus comes before the end of this worship service, you know what that means? I won't have to die. Dying is a painful, ugly process. And it's not a pleasant thing for ourselves and our loved ones. And sure, at death, we're kind of freed from a lot of things of this life, but it's not just complete yet. But when Jesus returns, all those who are living are instantly transformed and enter into the new life. So back to the verse that we're looking at, Revelation 22, verse 20. Jesus testifies to these things and says, yes, I am coming soon. And John and others say, well, say it with me, amen, come, Lord Jesus. That's what we want, and the sooner the better. Well, now the question is, when's it going to happen? Some hold to what's called the imminent return of Jesus. That means it's going to come real soon, in our lifetime perhaps. And they look at Scripture and they say, well, look at what Scripture says. Jesus says it right here. I'm coming soon. But we need to remember something else. Jesus also said, I'm going to delay. I'm going to wait. This mainly shows up in parables, where Jesus, for instance, gives the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, and just a couple verses from that. Jesus says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And the bridegroom was, notice this, a long time in coming. And they became drowsy and fell asleep. Other places, Jesus says, it's going to be a long time before I come back. And Jesus needed to say that because the early Jewish believers, when they saw or heard that Jesus went to heaven, he says, I'm going to be coming back, they're expecting him any day. Literally, they were expecting him at any day. And Jesus had said, no, it's going to be a long time coming. So here we are today, about 2,000 years later. He's not here yet. Why is it taking so long? Well, the reason it's taking so long, and here's where the next blank in the outline is, the gospel needs to go through the whole world. Back to Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus talks a lot about his second coming. Matthew 24, verse 14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You can look it up on your own, that reference to 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is where Peter is talking about God is not slow in keeping his promises, but wanting all to repent. Why is it taking a long time? Jesus got a lot of work to do. This takes a long time. It takes a while to spread the gospel, for people to travel, for the word to get around, for people to go to places where the gospel hasn't been reached yet to tell people about him. It takes some time. Well, okay. So we have both. Jesus says, I'm coming soon, and yet I'm going to be delayed. Doesn't that make his saying, "I'm coming soon," a bit hollow? Well, let me illustrate it this way. I don't know if any of you have ever had a GMC Acadia. We had a 2008 GMC Acadia. We liked that vehicle. Find out later from mechanics, a 2008 GMC Acadia, you're taking a risk, because most of them, their transmissions went out. Exactly what happened to us. One time we're going to do some shopping in a bigger city, and got off the interstate and got off the ramp, and right at the end of the ramp was a stop sign. Waiting for traffic to go by. Okay, now I can take off. The engine revs. Nothing happens. The transmission had died. So what do we do? Okay, quick, what's the closest repair place? Maybe a dealership. And so we call them, and they say, "Okay, where are you?" And say, "Oh, yeah, where's the mile marker?" Okay, then we find out, "Okay, here's where we're at." And they said, "We'll be right over." Okay, so here we are, sitting and waiting. Meanwhile, the cars are backing up behind us, and we're saying, "Come around, come around, come around." And it took a long, long time for that guy to come. And we came up, and I hope I didn't say anything too negative, but obviously I was frustrated. And he said, "Well, when I got the call, I had to quick call some people, cancel some appointments. I had to quick finish something, and then I came right over." From his perspective, he was quick in a hurry to get things done, and then he came right over. For me, it took a long, long, long time. If God were to open a curtain right here, and we could look directly into heaven and see Jesus, what's he doing? In his humanity, is he just kind of talking with Elijah and Enoch, who are also there in physical form? Or is he kind of sitting on his throne, just kind of waiting and maybe visiting with angels? What's he doing? He's planning. He's strategizing. He has the ability to know what's going on earth. He's directing the Holy Spirit to start moving into this area, to bring people there, to bring the gospel over there. He's guiding the cultural movements so that the access to the gospel is opened up, or even allowing dictators to be there, because that's when the church grows even more. And strategizing and planning. And his goal is to bring the gospel throughout the world. He's working furiously. That's what Jesus is doing right now. To bring the gospel to all the world. And that's why that last blank, that blank is, when he's finished, he's going to come right away. Well, the question is, where does that put us today? How far is the work finished? How close are we? How much farther does the gospel have to go? It raises a whole bunch of questions, because some missionaries say there's still a number of people groups that haven't heard the gospel yet. Parts of the East, Asia. There's some Asian islands, there's some remote tribes. And the questions, well, here's some question. When Jesus says the gospel needs to go to all the world, does that mean the major groups, like the Indo-Europeans and then the Asians, or does it refer to subgroups with their own language? Does it refer, for instance, to Europe, which used to have the gospel, which permeated the whole culture, but now most of them have forgotten. Does the gospel need to go back to them too? We don't know. We don't know how long that'll take. We don't know if perhaps from Jesus is about finished where he's going to come today, or in a few weeks, or a few months, or for a few decades, or is it going to take centuries yet? It's hard for me to think of that, but we don't know. But I can tell you this, he's working hard to reach that end goal so that he can come back again. So what does that mean for us? What it means for us is I list three things to keep in mind. One is be careful of treating the Bible as a puzzle with hidden timelines. That just shows up every once in a while where somebody will say, well, I've got the insight into this mystery. I know when Jesus is going to come back again. And they tell others, and others can get excited about it. Be careful. Jesus said, it's not for you to know these kinds of things. In fact, I don't even know. He said, be careful. And if you think you have some insights into when Jesus is going to come back again, why don't you talk to some mature Christians that you trust about that? Okay. Another is, we can participate in bringing the gospel to other people. It could be your own neighbors. I appreciate what Connections is doing to try and tell your neighbors, to make it known to our neighbors, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Support organizations that bring the gospel, either through missionaries, through media, or through print, whatever it may be, because, as it says in Scripture, by doing this, we hasten the return of Jesus. We're part of the mission of Jesus to bring the gospel so that he can come back again. And then obviously, here's the last blank in the outline. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for Christ to come back again. if we look at 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, this is right after 2 Corinthians 5, where it's talking about the coming and how God is bringing people back to himself. Then he writes, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There's a story where some Jewish students were sitting with their rabbi, their teacher, and these Jewish young men said to their teacher, rabbi, when should we repent? The rabbi said, when you repent, it's the day before you die. And they were kind of astounded, and they said, well, how do we know when we're going to die? And he says, you don't know the day you're going to die. That's why you repent today. It comes through clearly in Scripture. God is saying to the world, to us today, be ready for my son to come back. How do you get ready? Look again to Jesus. He is the gift of God to you. In the first advent, the first coming, he came as a baby, but he grew up to go to the cross, to take away your sins, and to come be victorious over death, over your sin. You need to open your hearts and receive it. And you need to embrace Jesus Christ right now. And if you embrace him, and if he comes within the next half hour, you will spend the rest of eternity with him. Accept the free gift of God. So we go back to our main verse of Revelation 22, verse 20. Jesus testifies, and he says, "Yes, I am coming soon." And we all from our hearts say, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus, just come as quickly as you can." Let us pray together. O Lord, that is the desire of our hearts and our prayer. We thank you that we can now celebrate communion as we look forward to the, as we remember the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. We pray, O Lord, that you will be honored during this, and we pray that you will also instill within our hearts the joy that we can know from the coming of Jesus. And we would long, O Lord, for that day to come soon. And could this be the year, O Lord, that Jesus comes back? In his name we pray. Amen.